procession drove past the golf course. And amazingly, one man dropped his putter, took off his hat, and he bowed his head as the funeral procession passed by. And his golfing buddy said, "That's amazing. I have never seen such a great show of respect like that." He said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Well, it was the least I could do. After all, I was married to the woman for 30 years. Oh, and you thought your husband was bad. But today we're continuing our series on love and marriage. Didn't my wife do an awesome job last week? Listen, let me tell you, this is a miracle, God. Let me tell you the backstory of this. She comes in to get ready for church last Sunday and finds me on the bathroom floor sick as a dog. So she had no advanced warning and came in here and preached last Sunday. You know that woman's prayed up. She's my best kept secret, I'll tell you what. She's the best preacher in the house. That's why I'm going to teach today. I ain't going to try to follow that up. But wasn't that an awesome word? And thank y'all for all your prayers. It was a long week, but I made it, and you're going to make it too. Amen. Love and marriage. This is going to be fun. Okay? And just so you know, there's going to be stuff for the singles too. Okay? And I'm talking about both types of singles. Singles and seeking. And single and satisfied. Okay, see? I knew y'all be affiliated somewhere. And if you're here today and you're single, let me give you the top five Christian pickup lines. Okay, number five. Girl, you're just like water, except Jesus turned you into fire. That's number five. Number four. Just so you know, I put the stud in Bible study. Number 3. Girl, I would say God bless you, but apparently he already has. Praise the Lord. Number 2. Can I get your name and number for my prayer list? And number 1. If you're looking for a man with good credit, Jesus paid my debts. Won't he do it? We're going to have fun. Some of y'all might try to use that today. Whatever. We're going to have fun, but more importantly, if you pay attention, you might learn something that'll help you, all right? And next Sunday, my wife and I, we're going to be tag team preaching on how to build a house of peace. How to build a house of peace. And don't miss it. In fact, bring somebody with you. But my message today is called A Tale of Two Brains. I've subtitled my message, Why Do They Do That? Ladies, has your husband ever done something and you thought to yourself, why in God's name does he do that? Will you just... By the looks on your faces, some of y'all thought that this morning on the way to church. Okay, now men, have you ever looked at your wife and thought, woman, why are you doing this right now? Anybody? Okay. It's going to be a long drive home, y'all. Oh, but listen, if we're all being honest, we've all had those thoughts because men and women are fundamentally different. Amen. If you're taking notes, write this down. You cannot expect women to think like men. And you cannot expect men to think like women. Can I say that again? Because if you pay attention to that, if that sinks in, that's going to fix a whole lot of problems right there. You can't expect women to think like men, and you can't expect men to think like women, yet we do this all the time. I'll give you an example. If you ask a woman to describe the perfect man, do you know what they do? They end up describing another woman. Yep. It doesn't work that way. We will never think the way that you think. Okay? You can't expect a man to think like a woman. Okay? Men and women are fundamentally different. We don't think alike because we're not designed to think alike. When you married your husband or your wife, God gave you your exact opposite. So let's explore how different we truly are. Let me start by saying this. Women are much more complicated than men. I should have got a lot more amens than that. Why do all the men look so scared right now? Anybody here willing, honest enough to say amen to that? Women are much more complicated than men. Thank you. Men are very simple, okay? Simple. S-E-X, simple. Men are not complicated at all. Women, yeah. Well, hey, I got here somehow, okay? Women are the opposite from men. Men are simple, women are complicated. Okay, but that's how God designed us. He designed us differently. That's why we're here today. A tale of two brains. Men and women think differently. And here's why this is important. Because men and women are quick to make a heart problem out of something that's actually a head problem. So many times in relationships, people get hurt. They get angry. They feel like the other person doesn't care about them. And they assume that that there's a problem with their heart. There's a heart problem in their relationship. But many times, it's not a heart problem at all. It's actually because they don't think like you think. Okay? They process information differently. They interpret things differently. They communicate things differently. A woman can't think like a man, and a man can't think like a woman.
Amen.
What if I told you today that there's a verse in the Bible that if you follow this verse, you will never have marriage problems? Would you believe me? In fact, there is a verse in the Bible that if you follow what it says, I guarantee you that you will never, ever, ever have a problem in marriage. Do you want to see that verse? Let's put it up there. It is good for a man not to marry. If you follow this Bible verse, you will never have a marriage problem in your life. Now, the Bible's not against marriage, but why is this verse in there? Because it goes on to say in the next part of the verse, he who marries will have trouble in this life. You don't see this verse on a lot of Hallmark cards, do you? In fact, I've never read this verse at a wedding before. Okay, you don't see this verse in fancy calligraphy on a cake, right? But here's my point. When it comes to marriage, you need to get into this thing with both eyes open. Every marriage faces trouble. Okay, I don't want to crush your dreams, but I do want to tear down the idol you created of a perfect marriage because it does not exist. You are not smarter than the Bible. And the Bible says that those who marry will have trouble in this life. Some of the best marriages around are the ones who made it through the very worst of times. You need to know that. You need to understand that. You need to write that down because the devil will lie to you and tell you that you're the only one going through what you're going through. The devil will make you think that your marriage is a failure just because you're facing troubles, but that is nothing but a lie because every marriage faces trouble. People come up to me and say, Pastor, something's wrong with us. We're having trouble in our marriage. Well, that sounds about right. So what the Bible says. There's another verse I want to give you this morning in Proverbs, but I might have to explain it to you, okay? You need some deep theological training to understand this verse. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Proverbs 14:4. Let's look at what it says. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. For those of you who don't get this verse, think about what comes out of an ox. Let's keep it PG, okay? Ox poop. Okay, and if you're not a fan of poop, and most of us aren't, the temptation is to get rid of the ox But look at the second part of that that verse. Look at what it says. It goes on to say, but abundant harvest comes by the strength of the ox. And here's the catch 22. We love the benefits that comes from the ox, yet nobody wants the poop that comes out of the ox. Okay, here's the thing. You can't have one without the other. There is no such thing as a poop-free marriage. It doesn't exist. I'm like, wow, this is a really motivational sermon series. Can't wait for next week. I got to lay some foundation, though, because this series is not about achieving the perfect marriage. It's about achieving a positive to poop ratio in your marriage, okay? All right, because if all you're getting is poop all the time, you've got one sick ox. Okay, but even a great marriages have to shovel stuff from time to time. Marriage is a wonderful institution. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. If you're married, your marriage is favor from God for your life. We know statistically that people who are married are healthier, they're happier, they do it right, they make more money, and here's one you might remember, they have better sex. You don't see that in popular culture. Come on, you watch TV. Hey, man, you having sex? No, I'm married. Are you kidding me? A popular culture is the exact opposite of the truth. Married people are healthier, they're happier, they make more money, they have better relations. Statistically, married people live longer. And this is especially true for men. One of the most dangerous things a man can do in America is stay single. Studies have shown that a single man has the same amount of stress and health problems as a guy who smokes 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. That's rough, y'all. I guess the only thing worse than that is a single guy who smokes 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. Then you're really in trouble. But marriage can be incredibly life-giving when it's done right. It can be the closest thing to heaven on earth. But when it's not done right, it can be the closest thing to... Yeah, you can figure it out, right? So many people don't know how to do it right. And let me say this, being a Christian doesn't mean you automatically have a good marriage. If you drive 90 miles an hour around a 20 mile per hour curve, chances are you're going to crash. Even if you have a Christian radio station playing. Even if you have a little statue of Jesus on your dashboard. Talking about Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus said, I'm not taking the wheel. I told you to stop driving so stupid. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you'll have a healthy marriage. That's why we make it a point to have a sermon series like this. Because we all need help from time to time. So come on, help me preach. Tell somebody you need help. All right. There's some typical ways that men and women think. But I understand that not everybody's typical. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago, and we were kind of talking about these things, and he said, you know, I'm really not a typical guy sometimes in my marriage. So, you know, that's kind of funny, because when I first started studying some of this, I was like, oh, man, I'm a woman, dang it. Not everybody fits the cookie-cutter pattern, but there are some general differences between men and women, okay? But there are exceptions to every rule. I'll give you an example. In general, men are more interested in sex than women. As I said, there are exceptions to every rule. In some marriages, the wife is much more interested in sex than the man. And if you're here today and that's you, I think we speak for all the men when I say, we hate you. Don't tell us who you are. But there are exceptions, y'all, I'm kidding. There are exceptions to every rule. But today I'm talking in broad terms. But adapt it to your own marriage, to your own personality, to your own life. I'm going to start with the guys. Neurologically and psychologically, men's brains are compartmentalized. In other words, a man's brain is made up of a bunch of tiny little boxes. Okay? This is a man's brain. Okay, we've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere down in the basement. We've got boxes everywhere, but the rule is the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, he goes in, he removes only that box, carefully opens the box, only talks about what's in the box, closes the box, and is extremely careful to make sure that that box does not touch any other boxes. That's how a man's brain is wired. Boxes. But a woman's brain. Woman's brain is not like man's brain. Woman's brain is a ball of wire, and everything is connected to everything. The money is connected to the car, is connected to the kids, is connected to you, is connected to her mother, is connected to your mother, is connected to the economy, is connected to the neighborhood, is connected to the grocery list. It's like the information superhighway. And it's driven by energy we call emotion. Okay? It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it with an emotion, it burns that event into your memory forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite honestly, we don't care. Just being honest with you. Women tend to care about everything, and because for her it's all connected. Now, men, we actually have a box in our brain that most women don't know about. It's a very significant box. In fact, this particular box has nothing in it at all. And for most of us, it's our favorite box. Out of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is his favorite box. If a man has a chance, he will go to his nothing box every single time. That's why a man can do something seemingly brain dead for hours at a time. Like fishing. He's in his nothing box. Or he's sitting in his chair flipping through the channel. His wife comes in, what you watching? Nothing. Go away. Sometimes my wife and I are driving down the road and she'll ask me, what are you thinking about? And it drives her insane because I was literally thinking about nothing. Now, they actually measured this. University of Pennsylvania did a study a few years ago and found that men have the ability to think about absolutely nothing and still breathe. Amen. Amen. And women can't do that because their brains never stop. They're always going, always firing away. We're sitting in our nothing box. And they're they don't understand the nothing box. Because nothing irritates a woman more than to see a man doing nothing. Whether it's the nothing box or any other box, men can deal with one thing at a time. It's just how we're made. When a man sleeps, 70% of his brain shuts down. When a woman sleeps, 90% of her brain is still going. Those wires are still firing away. Women have 2 X chromosomes. Men only have 1. That's why we need help getting dressed in the morning. We see basic colors. We don't see chartreuse. I thought this jacket was solid gray. I mean, women are way more complex. We can't see the colors that women see. In fact, if I had my way, I'd wear the same outfit every day of my life. It would not bother me a bit. Amen to that. It would drive my wife crazy, but I would be just fine. Okay, I'd have 100 blue shirts and 100 red shorts. I mean, just don't even have to pick anything out. Men like simple. They like to sleep on the same side of the bed, eat off the same plate, drink out of the same coffee cup, and don't mess with my stuff, and for the love of God, don't move it. I will never find it again. 28 years ago, my parents moved. We moved from an old house to a new house. And there was one box, the box, with that stuff in it that we've been hearing about for 28 years. Everything that he ever needed was in that box. And we have never seen it again. Yeah, he said, she knows where that box is. Women, you gotta have leverage sometimes. Good job, mother, playing the long game. Smart. Here's something else about men and women. Men have better long-range vision. Women have better peripheral vision. That's why 4 times more men are broadsided in car accidents because they never see it coming. That's why when your wife rides with you, she keeps yelling, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. You're like, ain't nobody coming, I don't see nothing. Yeah, you didn't see anything, but you didn't see what she saw. She's got better peripheral vision. Can I get an amen from the ladies? But men have better long-range vision. Men are better night drivers. They have a better safety record at night. They can see better downrange. When I'm driving, I'll see a wreck or I'll see a work zone 2 miles away. I'll go ahead and I'll merge over. I'll slow down. But when my wife is driving, oh, help me, Jesus. I've been speaking in tongues for 10 minutes before she comes up on it. And the very last minute on 2 wheels moves from the right lane to the left lane. And y'all think I'm close to the Lord. I've just been riding with my wife. But men and women see differently, okay? She can see things up close. I can see things far away. That's why a man can stand in front of his sock drawer. Hey, where'd you put my socks? They're right in front of you. No, they're not. Yes, they are. You're looking right at them. No, I'm not. They're not here. I don't see them. When that happens, guys, back away from the drawer. Oh, there they are. They did a study in the UK. They took 50 couples to an apartment they'd never been to before, and they asked them to sit down and eat a meal together. And in this experiment, The woman was instructed to take the butter, put it in the refrigerator on the second shelf, right at the front. So when you open it, it's right in front of you. And she was instructed 10 minutes into the meal to ask her husband to go to the refrigerator and get the butter. Now, a woman can go to the refrigerator and open it and see everything in it. A man's got to stand in front of the refrigerator like the umpire behind home plate. Scan, scan, scan. In this study, 48 out of 50 men couldn't find the butter. I love studies like that because I'm going to bring it up tomorrow when I can't find something. I can't help it. It's scientific. I can't find it. Women are multitaskers. Guys are single taskers. That's why it's never a good idea to put a man in charge of more than one kid at a time. Oh, baby, you're doing such a great job with little Billy, but where are the rest of the kids? I thought they were with you. When a man reads a newspaper, he shuts off his listening box so he can turn on his reading box. So if a man is reading, don't tell him anything important. Because if you talk to a guy while he's reading, his left brain will say to his right brain, "Do you hear something?" Nope. Let's keep reading. Men can only do one thing at a time. That's why sometimes you have to ask him more than once. Poor guys, I tell you. I know, ladies, you don't want to have to ask him more than once. In fact, you don't want to have to ask him the first time, but you might have to ask him 10 times because, honestly, we have the attention span of a goldfish. Ladies, God made you smarter than us, okay? We need your help, amen? Goes back to Genesis chapter 2. God made man and said, oh, boy. God made Adam, and Adam went to the nothing box. He said, wait a minute, we got to help this guy out. So he made a woman. You better take care of him. He doesn't even pay attention. Women have amazing brains. Male brains come with the minimum required RAM. Take the toothbrush test. A woman can brush her teeth, pack a school lunch, clean off the kitchen counter, give her kids instructions before they get off the bus, and never miss a beat. 95% of all men, when they brush their teeth, have to stand right in front of the sink, feet 12 inches apart, have to brace themselves with one hand, and most men, when they brush their teeth, don't even move the brush, they move their head. The poor guy can't do anything till the toothbrush box is closed. Just can't do it. How many times have you cut yourself shaving because your wife asked you a question? Woman, are you trying to kill me? Because we can't even shave and talk at the same time. Help us out, ladies. Men's brains are boxes, women's brains are all interconnected. And this is very important when it comes to how we handle stress. I know today's message is a little different, but this is my whole point. Okay? Dealing with stress. When a man is under pressure, the last thing he wants to do is talk about it. Ladies, when your husband is stressed out 9 times out of 10, he doesn't want to talk through it. He wants to go to the nothing box. My wife can tell when I'm stressed out because I'll tell her I'm going to get coffee. And she knows that I'll be back in about 4 hours because I'm just going to go get coffee and just drive around and be in the nothing box. I'll go from my nothing box to my prayer box to my nothing box to my prayer box. Now, when a woman is under stress, guys, are y'all listening? When a lady's under stress, she has to talk about it. Because if she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode. Okay? She has to talk about it. Now, I know some guys who run away from their wives when they do this. And this is what they say to me. I run because I don't know what to tell her. Dear God, man, who told you to tell her anything? Guys, when your wife is under stress and she's talking, just shut up and listen in Jesus' name. Here's the problem with guys. We're fixers. When a woman talks about how she feels, a lot of guys, we step in and we try to fix you. Because that's what a man does. A man only tells his problems to other men so they can offer a solution to help fix them. When I talk to Phil about an electrical problem, I don't want Phil to cry with me about how bad the electrical problem is. I want him to help me fix it. We're fixers. So, guys, when your wife is talking to you, do not try to fix her. Because if you try to fix her, she will kill you. Yes. She doesn't want your advice. She doesn't want your help. She wants you to listen. Yeah. Amen. I take that one clap. At least I got a clap today. I go to my nothing box after church. So many men say, I wish that she would just tell me how she feels. Guess what, guys? She doesn't know how she feels yet. That's how she figures out how she feels, by talking about it. She talks about it. She connects this wire to that wire, and that wire to this wire, and these wires over here to that wire. She processes it because she has an amazing, complex brain. She's not like you. She has more than three emotions. Women are complex, and their emotions are complex. It's not just as simple as telling you how they feel. It's a process. And men and women think so differently. Men and women handle emotions and stress so differently, but that's actually a good thing because we were created that way. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. It's not just the boxes, it's not just the wires. We are both together a reflection of the image of God. I want to ask the worship team to come as we get ready to close. But here's the bottom line. The key to a healthy marriage is giving them what they need, not what you need. Guys, when your wife is under stress, don't tell her, suck it up, buttercup. Don't tell her, stop thinking about it. Don't tell her, let's go fishing. Ladies, when your husband is stressed out, he probably doesn't want to talk about all of his emotions right now. You see, we try to offer each other our own best solution, but instead of offering them what we need, offer them what they need. Are you with me? Amen. And at the end of the day, trust God to give you wisdom and to work on their heart. Amen. He who marries will have trouble in this life. If you're going through a good season of marriage today, that's great. We celebrate that with you. But if you're going through a tough time, if the struggle is real, you're not alone today. Don't believe the lies of the enemy, because every marriage faces challenges and every marriage goes through tough times. And if you're going through a tough season, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing forward in faith. Don't let the presence of trouble make you doubt the presence of God. God said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Marriage is God's idea. God promised he'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll give you the strength to make it work. I want to close with a Bible passage today that I believe and pray will encourage somebody this morning. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And listen to this. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Notice what the Bible says. It doesn't say two strands. set a cord of three strands. Marriage is not about two, it's about three. You, me, and Jesus. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You, me, and Him. Because at the end of the day, Jesus is the healer of broken hearts. He's the one with all wisdom. He's the one who gives us strength. He's the Lord our provider. He's the one who gives us the power and the grace to forgive and to love. When you don't understand each other, He understands both of you. A godly marriage is not just you and me, it's you, me, and Jesus. Will you stand as we pray this morning? Lord, I thank You. I thank You that You made us in Your image. God, I thank You, Lord, that the way You created us, even though men and women were so different, God, You made us the way we are. And Lord, we celebrate our uniqueness, God. You've made us to be complementary to one another, God, not to fight one another, God, but to complement, to help one another. And God, help us, Lord, to work together, to understand each other. God, help us to see Your image in each other. And Lord, this morning I pray, God, for marriages that are struggling. Lord, I pray that they would find strength today. Lord, that they would find hope. God, knowing that You are the God of all hope. Lord, I thank You, God. I thank You for giving strength to the weak and hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, God. Lord, You said in Your word that You are an ever-present help in time of need. And God, I pray for every marriage, every family relationship in need right now. God, I pray, Lord, that You would be present, God, that You would be actively working and moving in those relationships, God. Lord, I pray for our singles, Lord, who are struggling, God, to seek You, God, to seek Your will and to seek Your wisdom and Your direction in their life. God, I pray that You would lead them and guide them in the way that they should go. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, that for using this series, God, to make us stronger as a church, to make us stronger as families, God, to make us stronger as a community. In the name of Jesus. As we continue to pray for just a moment, in a series on relationships, I cannot talk about the most important relationship of all. That's your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the one relationship that matters more than any other. Maybe you're listening this morning and you haven't been doing this thing the right way. Maybe you find yourself way in the other direction. The good news is that God offers you His love and forgiveness today. Right now in this moment, you have the opportunity to receive God's love and mercy. Because God knows you by name. He knows who you are. He loves you. He cares about you. You are not here by accident. You know, the longer I live, the less I believe in coincidences. Just a few years ago, in fact, 4 years ago, I was next door in our other building in the middle of a prayer night, a worship night, and a brain aneurysm ruptured in my head, and I was out. I was gone. Medically speaking, I shouldn't even be here today. But I know that God did a miracle. All right. All right. And I know that I'm not here by coincidence today. And I also know that you're not here by coincidence today. I believe that God brought you here today to give you new life, to give you hope and freedom in Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't plan on doing all that this morning. You didn't, but God did. All right. This is your day of salvation. This is your new beginning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. And here's the great thing about Jesus. He's standing with arms wide open, ready to forgive you, love you, receive you into His family, to give you a brand new beginning. Salvation is not something you earn or work for. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have an opportunity this morning right now to receive eternal life. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith in God today. Will you pray this with me this morning? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with Your help, I'll follow You. I'll believe in You. I'll trust in You. the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Whether this is your first time or you've been serving God a long time, if you are a child of God, if you're a believer, will you just lift up your hands and can we just worship big and just thank God for the gift of eternal life? Oh, Lord, we thank